the other day, and I worked out that there's at least 6,222 turkeys I've eaten. There's a bottle of champagne every day, thousands of sprouts, I just couldn't count the sprouts, loads of carrots, potatoes, you name it, it's all there, and it's all good.
You think I'm kidding? That's he does that every day. If you just jump over the slideshow, Julian, there's a picture of him on there. Dearie me, that's his name's Andy Park. For those who haven't heard of him before, and I'm just going to read a couple of things about him. Celebrated Christmas every day since July '93. He sent himself more than 235,000 Christmas cards, but he saves on postage. Every day he eats breakfast of turkey sandwich and mince pies, then he goes to work, eats a full roast turkey dinner for tea, and then watches a recording of the Queen's Christmas speech every day. In 2015, he stopped his daily routine because he was wiping out his savings and he was at risk of losing his home. That's just... 2 weeks later, he went back to celebrating Christmas every day because his love for Christmas was too great. Can we have a round of applause for Andy Park? I love Andy. If I had my way, and Pauline knows this, I would play Christmas carols every day. Could you imagine having Mariah Carey 24/7, Pauline? Well, you don't have to imagine because you get it. Why can't we all be like Andy? Probably because I can't afford it. But how's things in your life? Are you feeling a bit down? You're beating yourself up for some silly things you've done, mistakes you've made? We get to this time of year, we start looking back and we think, oh, I've done this, so I'm going to have any resolutions for next year. I think about some of the things in my life, and some of the things aren't the way I'd like them to be, but if you're, that's you, God's in you. That's the miracle of Christmas, is that God came and God is in you, okay? So if things aren't going good, God's not there travelling next to you, God's in you. I had this may have been Daniel, I can't remember. One of my kids told me this week, Dad, you've gone greyer this year. Now, I remember the first time I looked in the mirror and thought, I'm a little greyer. And Pauline said, it's like Richard Gere, you're just more distinguished. Thank you. God doesn't see the grey. God sees what I can be. God doesn't see my limitations. He doesn't see my mistakes. He doesn't see my sins. He sees the fact that he's living in me and he sees what I can do. So I might have bad knees. Apparently I've got greying hair. God lives in me, not you, me. Well, you can do it the other way around too. So I guess the thing that comes out of that is, are you living life like God's in you? So every single one of us every day should be like Andy Park, and you'll see I've put his website up there if you are disturbed enough to go and visit it. He was right. Christmas could be today. Christmas was yesterday. Christmas can be tomorrow. On the next slide, if I asked you what Christmas meant to you, the most popular answer on the internet, and I did do some homework on the internet because it's a scary place, but it does have some interesting things. Most popular answer was, Julian, tenderness for the past, courage for the present, and hope for the future. Well, it's all those things, to be fair, but it's a little bit more, Julian. Next one. Christmas celebrates the incarnation when God came to the earth in human form. That's Christmas. So you have your tenderness, you have your courage, you have your hope, but it's Christ embodied in flesh or taking on flesh. This idea that this God, this mystery, this idea that is there somewhere, and what is it, came to earth and took on flesh. So we learn about this in 1 John, if we can hit the next slide. So in John 1 to 5, in the beginning was the Word. Does anyone recognise what that looks like in the beginning? It's the Genesis story. So just as Genesis was the beginning of the world, sin came into the world got a little bit messed up, everything starts again when Jesus comes into the world. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So this is the Holy Trinity. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I like the way it says the darkness had not overcome it. It says the darkness has not overcome it. That's now. And in John 1:14, we skip on, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, for the Bible scholars out there, that's just the New International Version. So you can get stuck on the New International Version if you like. You dig a little bit deeper and we can play with some of the other versions. And by the way, that's the key tenet of our faith, is that Jesus came and Jesus is God. So there's a whole lot of faiths that believe in God. They don't believe that. Yeah, we believe that. Creation came. Sin came in the world, new creation. Jesus is here. It's a new game we're playing now. It's a new set of rules. It's not the Old Testament anymore. Next slide. Here's some new more translations. There's a lot of translations. A lot of translations of the Bible. You can read them all, but I just want you to focus on those yellow words up there. So the NIV says, made his dwelling among us. The Amplified Bible talks about he tabernacled or fixed his tent of flesh and lived a while among us. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says took up residence among us. The Message says, hey, he moved into the neighbourhood. The New American Bible says made his dwelling among us. And the New International Reader's Version says made his home among us. It's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. Think of your neighbourhood, think of your street, and you don't have to think too hard about this, and it's in a mess, and a new family moves in next door. It's that guy. Can you imagine what would happen to your neighbourhood if Jesus moved into your neighbour? Jesus took up residence, became flesh, and moved into your neighbourhood. Your neighbourhood's full of crime, your neighbourhood's full of looting, your neighbourhood's full of sadness and other unsavoury things that are going on. Anyone got a neighbourhood like that? Yeah. And he moves in. And what happens? Everything's good. God became a person amongst us and pitched his tent. God moved into the neighbourhood, made his dwelling amongst us, made his home. And it wasn't for 33 years, it was forever. And he gave the same to us. So when he made his dwelling in us, we've got God in us. What does that mean? That your neighbourhood's a mess. Your neighbourhood's full of crime, looting, sadness, unsavoury behaviour, and you move in. You're the one that makes a difference. It's not God moving into your neighbourhood, it's you moving in. And if you believe that, then live it. On the next slide, this is what your neighbourhood's got to get. They talk about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance. Now, I put in brackets there because I was looking and going, forbearance, I'm struggling. What does forbearance mean? It means patience, self-control, restraint and tolerance. Not carrying on swearing like a clown and yelling and getting all excited when you fall off your scooter at whatever speed he was doing. You're calm. Oh boy, he was calm. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. So it's calm. Amidst the chaos of the world, you're calm. And amidst the pain and suffering of the world, that picture there moves in. That your neighbourhood is a mess, that your neighbourhood is chaotic, that there's bad things happening, and that moves into your neighbourhood, and that's you. I don't know, I've actually written down here the words of Shane Crawford when he won the 1999 AFL Premiership, and he gets up to the microphone and goes, that's what I'm talking about! That's what I'm talking about! You move in. That moves into your neighbourhood. That should be there. And I don't know about you, but I find that a big challenge. I find that a challenge today. I find it a challenge tomorrow. I find it such a challenge that I see someone hurting in my neighbourhood. I see someone in my neighbourhood in pain, someone hungry, someone who needs something. Dear God, help them, they're suffering. Amen. Yeah, good on me. That's great. It'd be great if they found God. But there's more to it. And sorry, I'm going back to my Salvation Army roots here on the next slide. Sorry, Mike. William Booth. William Booth there's some wonderful things that William Booth said, and the issue that William Booth had with the church at the time in the late 1800s was the church had big fancy buildings, and the church was for people who looked the part, they smelled the part. Yes, they smelled the part. They acted the part. They didn't want none of them people who are the homeless people, or them people who don't shave. Whereas I remember when I was in Adelaide Congress Hall Salvation Army, which is probably the number one corps in Salvation Army, apologies to Noorlunga. And a bloke came in, this homeless dude, and he's as rough as guts, and he's sitting there clipping his toenails during the service. And he's putting the toenails in the pew, like the back of the seat in front. And I thought, that's fantastic. That is great. That's okay. And that's what William Booth's about. What is the use of preaching the gospel to men whose whole attention is concentrated upon a mad, desperate struggle to keep themselves alive? Oh, but they need Jesus. No, they don't. They're trying to keep alive. They're struggling to pay the bills. They're struggling to feed themselves. You cannot warm the hearts of people with God's love if they have an empty stomach and cold feet. So he set about feeding the neighbourhood, feeding people, getting people warm and okay before you talk to them about God. I spoke to a bunch of basketballers recently, and oh, golly, I hope I didn't offend them too much. On the next slide. Can't remember where the next slide is, actually. Oh, I'll just skip the basketball bit. Just cover this bit first. The difference between believing in God or a God and believing in Jesus. So the idea that if you believe in God, you would say, dear God, up there in heaven, help them people over there. They need you. Amen. You believe in Jesus, you say, dear God, up there, Andy here, and in me. Help those people over there and send me. Got the difference? And in the book of Isaiah, I think it's the book of Isaiah. I've skipped a little bit. I'm out of whack here with the sermon, but I'll get back to it in a sec. If you do the next slide, I think it was King Uzziah from memory or something, and he died, and God's chatting with his Isaiah. Yeah, God talks. And he's talking about, who am I going to send? Who am I going to send? And God actually says to him, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah responds, here am I, send me. Let's do that. Forgive me skipping backwards. I spoke to a group of basketballers recently, and they said to me, James, what does the world need more than anything? And I know what they were thinking. They were going to go, oh, the preacher boy, he's going to say, the world needs Jesus, the world needs God. I said, no. I said, I know what you think I'm going to say. You think I'm going to say the world needs God. The world doesn't need God. The world needs you. And they're like, I said, that went through you, didn't it? The world doesn't need this idea of God. The world needs a real God, a God that can feed people, a God that can house people, a God that cares about the daily struggle that people are going about. So if you see someone who's hurting and is hungry and in a desperate struggle and you say, oh, you need Jesus, what are they going to say to you? They're going to laugh at you more than anything. Yeah, but they're not interested. And this idea that God came down and we had Jesus as a baby boy is the same idea that God can come down and live with you, and you can be the problem solver. You can be the God in flesh that warms people, and then that Spirit of God comes through you. Yes? You with me? I did a study this year by McCrindle Research, so if you want to look it up, said 57.9% of Australians believe in God. That's pretty good. Went on to talk about the fact they believe in the idea of God or a God, which I've written up here. I don't know about you, but this idea of here I am, send me, I find that easier if it's a friend. I find that easier if it's someone who's well-dressed, someone who's a Ports porter. Had to get that in. Picture they're a Crow supporter, though. Bit challenging. Or if it's someone homeless, hasn't shaved for 6 weeks and stinks, and that dude was not good on the nose. He was odoriferous, for anyone who wants to Google a really good word, odoriferous, of a foul and unpleasant odour. They're a bit harder. And for those people here last night, you probably saw some people who come in and are receiving from us. They're not receiving food, they're receiving love. Some people that you think, oh, interesting cat. That's the idea. And William Booth found this idea that the church would care for the well-dressed, the well-spoken, the well-smelled, or whatever word you want to use. But William Booth said, send me. On the next slide, he said it best with this bit for me. He said, go straight for souls and go for the worst. What's the worst soul? Now, if you're a church and you like people that are well-dressed, you like people that smell good, look good, act good, whatever that is, behave good, you don't want that dude in your pew. I can still remember what he looked like. Is God working in you that way? In that way and laid that on your heart? If you love God and you love Jesus, the answer is yes. Okay? The answer is not, maybe not sure or no. The answer is yes. And you might think you're too old. You might think you're too young. You might be too poor, too rich, too short, too tall. Unrelatedly, Daniel got an x-ray of his growth plates last night. It's a scary picture. He got a long way to go. He's going to be too tall. You might be too this, you might be too that. You might not be the right person that the world needs to hear Jesus, right? It's been said so many times that if you had to raise disciples, and I love the example of the Bible. If you had to raise disciples, if you're Jesus and you come to the world and you're going to pick people to bring them the message of God into a world that was messed up when Jesus came, who would you pick out of these people? Jillian, go. Who would you pick out of them? Because the world will tell you, pick the guys on the left. They'll save the world. Jesus picked the guys on the right. That's challenging. Because that's you and me on the right. Well, it is quite literally me. But I've chosen that pick intentionally because it says to me that Jesus has called me. Now, if you think I'm a fisherman, I'm not. And I just want to make a couple things really clear. That was before the snapper ban began, okay? So that's a few years ago. It has not been taken during the period of the snapper ban. I want to just get that cleared up. And yes, I am a very talented fisherman when my brother is on the far left there. He's out there with me and putting it on the hook for me. God wants you. You can be a bozo like that, and he wants you. He does not want those guys on the top left. He did not choose priests to send the message. He chose those people. He chose the fishermen. He chose people, unrelatedly, by the way, think about it, don't look too good. They didn't smell too good that day. He chose them to bring the gospel. And I don't know. If you think you're too old, too young, too rich, too poor, too tall, too short, whatever it is, God sees you as potential. He sees all the things you can be. On the next slide, this is what God sees. And he looks in the mirror, and when you look in the mirror, I don't know about you, well, now I didn't before, but I do now because I look and I go, yeah, he's a little bit more grey than last year. Thanks, I think it was Daniel. Thanks for that, mate. But God doesn't see that you can't. He sees that you can. He doesn't see what you are, too small, you're too young, you're not strong. He sees the fact that God's in you. So he sees that you're not just that you're a kitten. He sees that you're a lion. And it's not your strength, it's God's strength inside you that can do these things. God forgave you. And we sometimes dwell on our mistakes and we think, oh yeah, but I did this. God forgave you. Get it through your thick head that God forgave you. It's over. That's finished. God's in you now. You're that lion. You're not the kitten anymore. Live like it. Focus on it. Be that person. And it's actually pretty strong on my day. Not so much anymore, but when I look at me and I go, you do okay, man. You know, you were a big, strong unit back in the day. And I think, yeah, but I'm not anymore. I can't. On the next slide, a lot of you know this guy. Shames me when I think of this bloke, Nick Vujicic. Anybody here heard him speak? Yeah? Yeah? Wow. You know, when he was born, his parents took a look at him and walked out of the room, didn't want anything to do with him. Could you imagine? That's him on the right, by the way. Forget the picture on the left. I'll get to that in a sec. But the picture on the right there. Could you imagine no arms, no legs? Could you imagine the teasing he would have gotten as a teenager? And yet we get anxiety, Mike. Come on. And we sit there sometimes and go, I don't know if it's worth it, God, am I going to end it or something? I mean, come on, this guy. He set himself a goal of preaching to 1 billion people. He's up to 300 million. I don't know about you, I reckon he'll get there. 1 billion people. He has a Bachelor of Commerce degree. He has a double major in accountancy and financial planning. And look at that beautiful family. But I'm too young. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too rich. I'm too poor. I'm this. I'm that. Hey? What I don't want you to do looking at that, though, is to beat yourself up. Because it's too easy to sit here and go, shame on me. And that's, I feel a bit of that. I think, why can't I do what this guy's done? I should smash this guy out of the park. I should be triple whatever he is or more. But it's not about shaming yourself and saying, I'm lousy, I'm no good, I suck. No. The point is not that you can. The point is not that you can't. It's that he can. And I'm not talking about Nick up here on the screen. I'm talking about God. The point is that God can. God's in you. That's the message of Christmas, the incarnation. God in flesh, God pitching his tent in your neighbourhood. And I'll leave you with a message, thoughts before I close up on the next slide. You all know this story, Isaiah 11:1, that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. I don't know about you, at times you feel like that stump. And it used to be a tree, and there's nothing more beautiful than a tree. I can't remember what the poem is, if you know the poem of a tree. Storm hit this morning. Wow, that was a great storm, about 6 o'clock. Wow, wake you up? Oh, man, that was impressive. Wake the dogs up. And trees are so big and strong and powerful, and they stand against those storms, and they provide shelter, and actually keeps us alive if you know all about photosynthesis and things. But nothing can stop you as this big tree. And then, I don't know, someone comes along with one of these things and does that. Smack. Bang. And you fall to the ground. And all that's left is that stump. Think about those kids in Tassie this week. And I don't know, I was watching some of the stories of the parents and reading some of the words, and there's parents feeling like stumps right now. They've been cut down. Someone's come along and just gone whack. And it's not about who's done it, but that's how they feel like. And you feel like you'll never get over it. Are we doing any music this morning? Oh, probably up to you. No music. Okay. I just want to ask you, who cut your tree down? If someone else has come along to you and you're there and you're this big long tree and someone else has come a smack and you're like, hell, where'd that come from? That hurt. Smack, and you're like, stop it, man, stop it. And they kept going, bang, bang. And they keep hitting you, and it's hurting. Bang, and then you fall into the ground, and all of a sudden you're that stump. Forgive them. Because I don't know about you, I've done some horrible things to people over the years. I have hit some people so hard with that axe. I probably felled them all, a few of them in one swoop. Good for me. So have you. Okay? And they might have hit you with the axe. Forgive them. You've got to move on. And what I want you to do is to not look at that. I don't want you to look at that stump. There's a reason why the stump's in black and white and the shoot's in colour. Look at the shoot. Okay? Look at what's coming. Dwell on that. That's the promise of Christmas. You should never sit in the front row, Lynn. I've told you this before. Isaiah 11:1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Lynn. And from her roots, a branch will bear fruit. That's the message of Christmas for you. If it was you that did it, so if it was you with the axe, sounds stupid. No, it's not. A lot of the time it's a self-inflicted wound. And you've got that axe out and you've got... Imagine if it was Groundhog Day, I'd probably give it a go. Bang! And you've cut yourself down and you've gone... I've got to stop doing these stupid things. This is not good for me. And you've gone, bang, and you've hit yourself again. And you keep doing it over and over again. And you know, it's an addiction or something, and you can't stop, and you go, bang. And soon you're looking like that stump. I don't want you to beat yourself up. Because what's the message of Isaiah? He says, don't look at the axe. He says, don't look at the stump. Look at the shoot. Sorry, Nick, I'm going to pick on you because this is your axe. Words of Isaiah are that a shoot will come up from the stump of Nick, and from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. That's the message of Christmas. Stop looking at that. Okay? Stop looking at that stump. Closing prayer. Lord, thank you for your word and thank you for Christmas. Thank you that the word became flesh and moved in and pitched his tent in my neighborhood. Thank you that because you live in me, I can move in and I can pitch my tent in my neighborhood too. I am not too young. I am not too small. Well, definitely not too small. I am not too poor. I've got God in me. I am a lion. Help me. Help all of us to see we are not that stump. We are a pruned tree ready to grow again. And that out of the stump of my life, from those roots, a branch will bear fruit. Bless everyone here today. Bless those who can't be here today. Bless those who need extra blessings at this time of the year. There's plenty of them. And let's all be Andy Park. Christmas can be every day, not because we want to hear the Queen's speech every day, but because God is here and God pinched his tent in my neighbourhood, in me. And all God's people said, amen.